Good morning. We're glad that you've all been able to join us today to worship our Lord and Savior and for the installation of Pastor Tim. I want to add that everyone is invited after our service to a potluck luncheon downstairs in the gym to celebrate this next stage in our church family, in the growth of our church family, and God is having us come together and celebrate the installation of Pastor Tim. Please take the time after the service to read through the bulletin, making special note of a few key upcoming events. So number one, we are now into Corn Roast Week, which is always a great event to invite other members of the community to have people come and enjoy the large steam engine and the wonderful corn that we have. Also including this week, we have our kids programs are now back in full swing. We have our coffee break Bible study happening this Thursday at the same time as Kids Club. And one other announcement I would just like to make as well is we have found recently there's been certain instances when the church has been left unlocked. So just if you are here, I know there's a number of people with keys, just be careful to, if you're here in a small group, to be able to lock the door behind you so that others don't come in unnecessarily, and that we do leave the church locked and we double check all the doors before everyone's leaving, particularly the front door has been sticking. So we just want to make sure that our facility here is also appropriately secure. Please turn to page 938 in your pew Bible as we read Psalm 103, verses 1 to 7 for our call to worship.
Psalm 103 of David. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel.
Please bow your head with me for our opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in your great wisdom, you richly bless us. Be with us as we hope for the future of our church, not simply a building or our small group of your followers, but for all of your children. Help us to clearly hear your words for us today, as we know your word brings peace and hope in all times. Accept our praise for your love and righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship band will now lead us in song.
Good morning. Please stand with us for worship. We're going to start with Christ Be All Around Me, which is a song we did a couple of Sundays ago when we were outside. So if it starts to sound familiar, please join in. Yeah, and you can stand. Yeah. Great. Okay, thank you.
Satisfied and sustained. Your breath.
Invite the children forward for the children's story.
There we go. Is that better?
Yes. Good morning. It's nice to see you all. I am hoping for a lot of things right now. I have a lot of hopes. So it's interesting that today's message is entitled Wild Hope, About Hope, an amazing Bible passage with all kinds of God's promises in them. And I was wondering, I mean, I know what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping, like it won't rain on Saturday when we have the corn roast. I'm hoping Tommy will be able to come home this weekend because I miss him. I'm hoping for all kinds of things. Are any of you hoping for anything? Does anyone want to share what they're hoping for? What do you think? Any hopes? Let's make it an easy one. I am hoping that someone made egg salad sandwiches for the potluck today. Is anybody hoping for anything specifically for the potluck? Callan, do you have one? No, no. I heard a dessert. Lots of hope. What do you have? Veronica. What do you hope is down there today for lunch? Or any hope? I see Stephanie's hand. I'm going to come back to you. Go ahead, Stephanie. Oh, yes. I hope you have a good week, too. What about you, Marcus? Excellent. Also hoping for a good week. Veronica? For cookies. Yes. I am hoping for cookies also. For chocolate chip, I hope. Yeah. You know what? These kinds of hopes for, that you invited to someone's birthday party, or hopes that maybe you'll get to sit beside your best friend in class, or hopes that someone brought a soccer ball for recess time. All these hopes are wonderful, awesome hopes, but they're not the same as the hope that God gives us in the Bible, because our hopes are a little bit like playing heads or tails. Does everybody know how to play that? Have you ever flipped a coin before? So if I hold this quarter, do you see how on this side there's a picture? Now animal identification. A deer, maybe? I don't know. Caribou, says Dexon. Thank you. On the other side, I'm sorry, Callan. Lost my names. On the other side, there's a head. The head of our now late queen. So if you play heads or tails, you call heads. That's for the face of the queen. And tails is for that side. Evelyn, will you come play heads or tails with me? Come on up. So what do you want to pick? Do you want heads or tails? Okay, we're all going to hope for Evelyn that it's going to be tails. So let me see. I'm going to flip it. Oh, I'm so sorry for Evelyn. It landed on heads. Oh, it was 50-50, but you know what? That's actually, I was kind of hoping that would happen, because that's the way our hopes are. They might happen. They might not. Next time we flip it, it might be tails. It might not. Our hopes, there might be egg salad. There might be cookies. We might have a good week. We might not. But the hope of the Bible is kind of like the way the corridor fell. Did you see it fall? It fell. We could take it up to the top of the church ceiling. We could drop it from there. Would it float or would it fall? It will fall. I could take it up in an airplane and I could drop it. Would it fall or would it stay up there? It will fall. It might not survive, but it will fall for sure because of gravity. Gravity is always around us and it will always fall. Might take longer, might take a while, but it will fall. Our hope in God is like gravity, sure thing, which means bad things might happen, but God is going to be with us. Good things are going to happen and we can rejoice that God gave us those good things. So we have big, wild hope. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for hope that is so, so awesome. Bigger, bigger, bigger than all of our small hopes. And we ask that you remind us of that and stay by us always. Amen.
I was hoping that my child wouldn't go on the stage and play the drums, so great success. Some hopes do come true. We're now going to have our time that we started last week, but I'm sure we had done it sometime in the past year, a time of sharing. If you have any prayer requests or any praises that you'd like to share, please raise your hand, and I don't know if we've actually arranged for someone to have a microphone to get to you, but we'll figure that out quickly. Someone's shaking their head at the front. Someone's running down. It'll happen. Raise your hand and something will happen. A planted hand raising. Thank you. How many Mennonites does it take to screw in a light bulb might be
Mike.
Discovered here. There we go.
Yes, Tim and I were trying to figure out how to and when to introduce me. I'm Marilyn Rudy Froese, Church Leadership Minister for Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. It's a joy to be here with you. It's a joy to worship with congregations in MCEC, particularly around these celebratory occasions of installations. We are grateful for your prayers and all the ways in which you support and walk with us as a community of congregations, as Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. We pray for our congregations. We appreciate your prayers for us. Maybe a couple things you could pray for this organization, this entity called Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, and this wider community that we are together. Each week in our weekly bulletin, we name a congregation that congregations are invited to be in prayer for. So know that your turn comes up and we pray for you, just as you in turn pray for others. At our annual church gathering in 2022, we passed a new identity and purpose statement and launched ourselves into figuring out, discerning what is our purpose, what are the activities we're going to do, and what are our goals, and how are we going to gather around them. We as the staff of MCEC are praying and working to figure out how it is we can best embody these priorities that we have set together. So I would invite you to be in prayer for us as we continue to listen to how God is leading us. And it's so big, all the things we could do together. How do we choose the few things that we can do well together? And so that's the thing that we're engaged in. One other thing I will invite you your prayers for, and if you are youth or youth sponsors, pastor, we are engaging in a research project on how MCEC can best support pastors and congregations in engaging youth in faith formation. We are, so next week, the steering committee is meeting. Those of you who are youth, parents of youth, and leaders of youth will be invited to engage the process through some online discussion boards and activities. So please pray for us as we discern this together.
Thank you, Pastor Marilyn. Marilyn is kind of my boss, so if you want to just tell her good things about me, even if they're not true, and if they're not good, they're not true. If you'd like to be a plant next week with something to share, also let me know afterwards. Oh, we do at the back there, Marianne.
I'll just say that it was super joyful. We were back at choir this week, which is really exciting, but also to be able to see the junior youth up and running on Monday night. And I know that the Kids Club met on Thursday and youth on Friday. So really, really excited. And young adults as well, I think, met on Friday night. Just happy to have our programs back up and running. And really, really grateful to have Shannon in our midst and doing all the good work that she's doing. So just feeling really grateful for that.
Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to see you have a nice walkabout. So I just like to say that the youth was just brilliant there in playing their instruments. I think we got a lot of praise and thank for the talent and what we have. So, yep, that's it. Sweet and short.
Thank you, Brian.
It's on my heart to tell you the story. I listened to David Jeremiah the other day, and he said after the Second World War, youth leaders went, or youth went up to renovate a building that was destroyed. And by this building was a statue of Jesus, and his hands were off. So they couldn't figure out to put new hands on Jesus. So they left it like that, and then they put a sign up, "Jesus without hands, he needs your hands." And it talked to me. And the other day in my mailbox was a nice kitchen towel and no name on it, but it was for me. And some hands made this kitchen towel for me. And thank you very much. We all can do good things with our hands.
Thank you.
I'll share quickly maybe a miracle, definitely something amazing. My dad came to Canada in the 20s. Marianne's dad, my wife's dad, came to Canada after the Second World War. My dad, her dad, fought on opposing sides. They could have been basically shooting at each other. Her parents and my parents both attended this church. Both Marianne and myself were born into this church. And today Marianne and I celebrate 40 years anniversary. It's been a blessing, and to think of how that has come to be is, in my eyes, it's amazing. So I just want to share that.
Romeo and Juliet with a happy ending. Thank you. All right, well, let's pray together. At the end of the time praying, I'll invite you to do the Lord's Prayer. We will have that up on the screen, but you're welcome to pray that in whatever version you're most comfortable. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, who hears our needs, our requests, our hurts, our joys, those ones spoken aloud those ones whispered in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would guide us to be your hands. Give us opportunity to be your hands this week so that we may serve people and that they may experience your love through us. We think of all those through the world who are hurting, from sickness, from grief, from violence, from warfare, from hunger, from addiction. Lord, there is so much. Have mercy. Continue to work through your people, work through your church to bring about your values, your new hope, your new life here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that your fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, would be in us and evident in our lives of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy Spirit, move through us, your people. Ignite that fire in our hearts so that as we go from this place later, your love would continue to spread. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For those who worship through giving, we do continue to take our offering at the back. If you need any help, please ask an usher. And that's our way of saying, as part of this family, we want to contribute to the good that is being spread all over together.
Good morning. This morning I'll be reading Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in peace, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
At the end of a summer in which it feels like nature and the climate have been making their presence known, it is perhaps fitting that our scripture text uses images of planting, sowing, and growth, and nature itself having voice and movement. On the one hand, we have witnessed the devastating effects of drought, heat, and wind in the wildfires that affected many parts of our country and our world. And on the other hand, in our corner of the world, we have had a summer of rain and sun. It feels like in good, right proportions, leading to, of all things, grass that was green in August and a plentiful harvest. Our natural world helps us to be attuned to the rhythms of nature and growing and the seeming groaning of the earth. I love the image in this Isaiah passage of the word of God. It goes out and it doesn't return empty. When we hear the phrase, the word of God, most of us may think of a bound book. Maybe it's well worn for much use. Maybe it's on a shelf somewhere. When we talk about the Word of God, we usually think of the written Word, letters that sit on a page waiting to be voiced or to be read. This passage in Isaiah gives us an image of an active Word, not a passive written Word. This Word is one that goes out and comes back. It is sent out from God's mouth, and it doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what it sets out to do. It succeeds in its purpose. This Word is a presence. It moves in the world. It gets things done. This Word is as reliable and predictable as the rain and the snow, which come down from heaven and don't return until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout with seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Isaiah preached these words to the Israelites who were in exile in Babylon. They had lost all hope of ever returning to their home. They heard the prophet's calls for them to live in ways that are just and upright, caring for the poor among them, worshiping God and keeping God's commandments. Exile was experienced by them as God's punishment for past mistakes. Words of judgment about hardship and lush vineyards becoming barren places of thorns and briars ring in their ears. These messages have been passed from neighbor to neighbor and from parent to child. There's no hope of an end to this exile. Into this hopelessness, this experience of exile, come Isaiah's words. This is a new message for them. No longer are these words of judgment, but now these are words of hope. Thorns and briars will be transformed into cypress and myrtle. They will go out in joy and be led back in peace, back to Jerusalem, back to their home. This is good news. But can they trust it? How do they dare hope? God, through the prophet, assures them, look to nature. What does it tell you? The rain and snow fall and water the earth, and then evaporate and return to the sky to begin the cycle all over again. Just as they know that rain and snow fall and water the earth, so this word of God, is reliable and true. This word will accomplish what it says. They can trust it. This word will succeed in its purpose, a purpose of restoration and hope. This message of hope has been going on for a number of chapters in Isaiah. The chapters from Isaiah 40 to 55 are words of hope to these exiles. Moreover, this message of hope, this word of God, provides a bookend for this message. Isaiah 40, verse 8, says that while the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of God will stand forever. Then here in chapter 55, the word of God shall not return empty. This word of God is enduring. It goes out. It doesn't return empty. It accomplishes its purpose, and it succeeds. This is no passive word waiting on a page for life. This word is active, alive, and on the move. This word is the same word who was in the beginning. This is the word who was with God. This is the word who was God. This is the word who became flesh and lived among us. This is the word that the sower scatters as seed in all sorts of places. You know, the parable of the sower in the Gospels tells us about the seed, this word, that is scattered. And it's scattered indiscriminately, thrown everywhere, on the path, on rocks, among thorns, and on good soil. Now, from our perspective as farmers and gardeners in the 21st century, this does not seem like a wise farming practice. We like to calculate what kind of soil we have and what plants will grow best in that particular soil. We add things to the soil to change it, to make it better, to try to improve the chances that our seeds will survive. We get rid of the rocks and thorns. We avoid the pathways. We don't waste seed and plants. So what was that farmer in the parable thinking? Of course, farming has changed a lot in the time since Jesus told that parable. Seed then was scattered by hand, so the wind often caught some of it and blew it onto places where the farmer didn't intend it to go. Farmer also would have known that scattering it liberally would ensure that more of it would grow. But even the people listening to this parable, while they understood and knew the farming practices, there was something in this parable that Jesus told that was audacious and unbelievable. They would have, like, been puzzled or surprised or thinking how impossible it is for a seed to yield 30, 60, or 100 times. Like, a really good return on seeds for those farmers was 10 bushels for every bushel of seed. A more average return was 7.5 bushels for every bushel of seed. So this yield that Jesus talks about of seed yielding 30, 60, or 100 times, well, it's audacious. It's impossible for that to happen. It's like way too good to be true. What an image of abundance and provision. What an image of hope beyond hope. Hope too good, too wild to imagine. It's an image of good news. While 3/4 of the seed that was sown doesn't grow, what does grow yields more than is even possible. This is the word of God, a word that goes out and doesn't return empty. There are several things about this idea, this word that is told about in this Isaiah passage, this word, the seed from the parable of the sower. They offer things for our pondering, our consideration, maybe our growing of hope. The first and perhaps most profound is that God's word goes out into the world by no effort on our part. Just as the rain and snow fall through no effort or decision on our part, sometimes we wish we could control it, so God's word goes out through no effort or decision on our part. God's word is active and goes out and comes back. It has an agenda, God's word does. It has a purpose, which doesn't need us, is independent of us and our purpose. We're invited to join it, absolutely. God wants partners in this mission, wants people to take this word and move with it. But we don't have control over it. Just as the farmer scatters the seed and gives up control over the yield and even where the seed goes, so God's word goes out into the world through no planning or visioning process or committee meetings, through no effort on our part. It will accomplish what it sets out to do. It will succeed in its purpose. It is up to us to notice and participate. But it is not under our control or dependent on our initiative. I find this somewhat freeing and also daunting. So it's freeing because it takes the pressure off of us to create these perfect congregations, perfect programs that will produce great fruit and we can see the results. It takes that pressure off of us. God's word is active and does unpredictable and awesome things on its own. But it's daunting because I don't know about you, but I doubt my ability to see God's word and where it's at. And like, if I see God's word, will I notice it? Will I recognize it? Will I join if I see what God is doing in the world? And I don't know, what's my role, what's our role in this thing that God is doing if God's word doesn't need us? This realization is humbling because it's hard to let go of my own belief in my ability and my goodness. It's hard to realize that God doesn't need me in the way that I think God needs me. Now, perhaps it's a bit ironic that on a Sunday when we install your new pastor and celebrate the ministry that you have together, that I may be suggesting that you don't need your pastor, or that God doesn't need St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church or Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. And while I don't really want to be quoted as having said that, I do believe that it is both true and it is not true. I believe it's true in that scripture, as we've seen in this Isaiah passage, points in that direction. God has a purpose in our world that will be accomplished. God's mission, a mission of restoration, healing, and hope, is at work in our world. God will find ways to bring this mission to fruition, as God has been doing throughout centuries, with or without us. So it's true that God doesn't need pastors or congregations or regional churches to accomplish this mission. And it's important to say and not but, and it's also true because we know through scripture as well that God desires our participation. God invites us to be involved. God desires and longs for our partnership in this thing that God is doing, in this purpose of God, this kingdom of God, this mission of God. In Ephesians 3, Paul clearly states that it is God's desire that the church be the vehicle through which the wisdom of God in all its rich variety be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God wants to use pastors and congregations and regional churches in the accomplishing of God's mission. God chooses us. God wants us. God's always looking, seeking, and desiring partners. I think it's also true that how we envision it and the structures that we've currently established and are living into may not be the vehicle of the church through which God wants to be at work. So that's a bit of the unsettling nature of this word of God that goes out and comes back. That how we envision it, how we've structured our worship and our congregational lives may, in fact, and our life as a regional church may, in fact, not be exactly the vision for this time and place. But we can trust this word of God, this mission, that it will go out and it will come back with or without us, and we can join in and be part of it. So while God's word doesn't need us, it longs for us to be a part of what God is doing in the world. So you have called your pastor to pay attention in a particular way to this word of God, the word that is written and spoken, the word that is read and heard, the word that is studied and prayed over, the word that goes out and comes back, the word that accomplishes what it sets out to do. And you also, as a congregation, are listening for God's word as well in your places of work and school and home and in this place. You have your own relationships with this word of God. And when you come together as pastor and congregation, you all bring your experience of the word and what the word has been doing in your life and in your community's life and how you have heard and seen it at work. And you together find ways to respond to it at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. So we each have our experience and relationship with the word of God in our own context. And when we come together, we have to figure out what the word of God for this context is saying to us and how to respond. The mission is God's, and it is a mission of hope and restoration in the world. It's characterized by abundance. It's a mission that is already happening. This text is an invitation to join God's mission, to be the presence or word of God where we are, to look for the word of God in our community. If the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus, and we as followers of Jesus are the body of Christ here in the world, then the Word is embodied in us. We are the hands of this Word of God as we allow ourselves to be partners in this way, to be sent out so that we can come back full. The Isaiah passage seems to focus on the seed and the product of the seed, seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Focusing on the seed is an important thing, thinking about the quality of the seed, the kind of seed, and what it will produce. Certainly, the Word of God is seed we want sown in abundance and sown indiscriminately. But part of producing fruit is tending the soil and recognizing not so much whether the soil is good or bad, which I think is a temptation with the parable of the sower. We focus on the good soil and the bad soil. But I think, actually, the invitation is for us to ponder how we're tending the soil, particularly when we recognize that we have all those different kinds of soil within us. Perhaps you recognize within your own life or in the life of the church the well-worn paths of our own beliefs which resist taking in anything new. Maybe it's the thorny places of anger, resentment, or discontent which choke out opportunities for new insight or new beginnings, new visions of this Word. Maybe it's the thorns of doubt and disbelief that find it easier to be cynical rather than hopeful. Maybe it's the rocky places of good intentions and initial excitement and vision, but the obligations, distractions, and demands of life are barriers to deep roots and lasting change. We can desire change, and it can be hard to live into change. It's a wonder, given all of this soil within us, that any seed grows at all. And it's easy to be hard on ourselves, particularly when we think about the challenges of being church in this time. Is any seed growing? Will anything come of the seeds that we're continually planting as we invite participation in various events or programs? How will we continue to nurture and feed the seeds we've planted when we can't reach those seeds to nourish and water them, when they no longer participate in congregational life? And can our small seeds make a difference, particularly in the face of climate change and when we think about the summer we've been through? Will anything we do change the trajectory of the climate? It is easy to despair. We perhaps understand the despair of the Israelites in exile who wondered if they would ever see home again, if God would once again look favorably on them. The people of Israel's time knew about hopelessness and despair. These words of hope and assurance that they will go out in joy and be led back in peace came to them as wild, impossible hope. Mountains and hills singing, trees clapping, cypresses growing where there had been thorns, myrtle replacing briar, impossible. The singing, clapping, life-giving creation, we're told, is a memorial, an everlasting sign to the Lord. This is hope and promise. As I think about the summer of wildfires and heat and devastation and how on earth we can ever be hopeful about climate, particularly, and some days the church, I was reminded of the pine cones from the jack pine. A number of years ago, someone gave me pine cones and then told me the story of how she was trimming their jack pine tree at their cottage and threw the pine cones, which looked dead, into the fire. In fact, she said all of the pine cones on the tree looked dead. But as the cones were burning, she noticed that in the heat of the fire, they began to open up and release their seeds. It turns out that the only way the jack pine tree can propagate is if there is a fire. What appears dead actually needs fire and heat in order to come to life, to bring about new life. In the same way, pruning and cutting back plants encourages new growth. We do that as gardeners. In the first century, the seed was sown first, and then the ground was worked up so there was opportunity for those rocky, well-trod, and thorny places to become receptive places for hope, for growth. I find these stories from nature hopeful, not because it had to happen, not because the loss of life can be answered through that hope. There is loss and grief. This is difficult. It can't be glossed over or minimized. Grief, loss has to be lived into, and peace has to be found in moving through it. And we pray that it will. In the midst of challenge, loss, anxiety, uncertainty, and despair, these stories remind me that that's exactly where the promise of God meets us. The promise of God is that healing and hope, restoration, will come. In the midst of so much devastation, nature has a path to new life. Healing, new life, wild hope. These may be fragile and delicate. It may be hard to see them at first, and maybe we won't actually get to that place ourselves, but as a community of hope, a community embodying the word of God, may we hold and embody this hope together. Healing, new life, wild hope, these may be fragile and delicate, hard to see. We can trust that they're there. We can trust that the word of God continues to go out and come back, and that in coming back, it doesn't return empty. God's word is actively bringing to life what is tired, worn, lifeless, and despairing. It accomplishes what it sets out to do. Its purpose is to bring life, fullness, shalom. Maybe it's not so much about us hearing the word of God as it is about how the word of God is working up the soil of our lives. How the word of God is living in us. Maybe it's not so much about what we are doing as what God is doing in us and through us as individuals, as congregations, as a regional church. And maybe it's about what God is doing in creation. How open are we to God's mission in this world? God's word is active and alive indiscriminately and extravagantly, showing up in our lives, in our community, and in our world. How receptive are we to what God wants to do in us, in our churches, and in our world? May God's word live and grow in each of us, sending us out in joy so we can live into this wild hope of a future renewed and restored and at peace. Let it be so. And with hope and new life, we move into the litany of installation, this installation service marking this moment in your life as a congregation and pastor. There's a litany on the screen. Kurt will also join us. So I invite you to read your part at the time when it's indicated. Sisters and brothers, we have gathered today in the presence of God and this assembly to install Tim Amore as pastor of this congregation. Who presents Tim for installation? In commending Tim for this ministry, will you also uphold Tim in it? And questions for Tim. Do you hold to the promises that you made at your baptism and your ordination?
I do.
Do you believe that this calling and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Will you seek to be faithful in prayer, in setting forth the scriptures, and in seeking the good of this congregation?
I will.
Will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with your brothers and sisters in this congregation?
I will.
Sisters and brothers at St. Catherine's United Mennonite, you have heard the commitment to ministry in this congregation made by Tim. Do you receive Tim as your minister? Will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with Tim? Tim, you have committed yourself to leadership at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. In this leadership role, our charge to you is to endeavor to be faithful to God in Christ as revealed in Scripture, to remain open to the leading of the Spirit in this community of faith, to be sensitive to the needs of people, and to serve in the spirit of love. May God grant you a faithful ministry in this congregation and in this community. And now, Tim, on the basis of this mutual agreement between St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church and you, by the authority invested in me by MCEC, I install you as pastor of this congregation with all the joy and responsibility of the task. May God bless this new relationship between you and the congregation. As part of the promises, the covenant that we're making today, we will sign a covenant regarding ethics in ministry. This is something all ministers in MCEC do together with the community they serve and the broader church. Pastors walk with people through some personal and vulnerable times in their lives and their spiritual journeys. And for that reason, we covenant together to carry out our ministry with integrity, respecting confidences, telling the truth, attending to healthy sexual and ministerial boundaries, and respecting the work of other leaders. As congregations, we agree to pray for our pastors and make space for the leadership role they have been given. We will support them in their work and also encourage them to practice self-care by taking time to study, to play, to pray, and to spend time with colleagues, family, and friends. As a regional church, we will work with integrity and respect for both congregations and pastors through times of transition, crisis, and review. We will sign three copies of this covenant, one that Tim will keep, one that Kurt will keep on behalf of the congregation, and one that MCEC will keep. May God empower us to live and work together with integrity.
I signed first.
You
I
signed first. We signed two before. For the prayer of blessing, I invite you to stand and extend your hand in blessing towards Tim. And I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. Oh God, you call your people to service through the church. Bless the covenant we have made today as pastor and people. Thank you for the calling to ministry that comes to each of us. On this day, we especially thank you for the calling to pastoral ministry. Be a source of strength to Tim, endow him with the gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bind us to one another in the bond of peace. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor Marilyn, for your message this morning. We look forward to this new chapter of life at our church. Please stand with us as we close in song this morning.
Blessing and benediction, we're just going to pray and bless the food so as you go down, you can enjoy as you get there. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good. Thank you for the many hands that have prepared this meal. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts, that you would use this food to invigorate us, and that we would move forward and be ever mindful of the needs of others. Bless this food to your use. In Jesus' name, amen. And receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God use your hands to be the hands of Jesus. May God fill you with hope as you go out and serve. Go in God's peace. Amen.